Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Ken Mulman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. Got a handful of things to talk about tonight, and whenever you would like to call in, you can do so by calling area code 858, sorry, folks, area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And as usual, we'll take your call starting at the bottom of the hour. I did not have a chance to catch up with co-host Dave. I don't know if he'll be joining us tonight or not. That's been a crazy week, folks. Just a crazy, crazy week. And we'll get to more of that here in a moment. But first, to get things started, as always, randomly generated political rhetoric from the political rhetoric generator. Tonight's randomly generated political rhetoric is: my opponent is taking donations from angry chefs, violent video game makers, and Washington elitists. All right, and tonight's random correlation, not random correlation, but spurious correlation, and we do this to show that correlation is not causation. The number of lawyers in Kentucky correlates with the number of suicides by hanging, strangulation, and suffocation nationwide. And that correlates over the past 12 years. So, somewhere there's a joke in that, but whatever. The point is obviously those two don't cause each other. Again, showing that correlation is not causation. Found an interesting couple of stories this week, and I'm trying to get more information to see how legit this might be and how legit this might actually be, how viable this might be. There's talk of using hemp, industrial hemp, which, you know, we just started growing here in Kentucky again this year, but only on a limited experimental government-approved basis, whether industrial hemp can be used to make superconductors supercapacitors for batteries. In other words, industrial hemp may be a renewable resource for alternative energy. Now, a lot of people in the hemp movement for years have said, hey, you can use the hemp seed oil for fuel. You can use the biomass for fuel. Certainly that's already been talked about. But this takes it to a whole other level. If what's being reported here is correct, and I haven't had time to look into the science, but if what's being reported here is in fact accurate, if hemp can be used as a supercapacitor, renewable resource used for batteries, that and I don't know if you folks know all the details or whatnot. I haven't dug all the way into this, but rumor is that we're running out of some of the precious metals required for some electronics. This may be able to create bigger, better batteries that are at least in part biorenewable. And so Kentucky, I made the joke a few days ago, you know, Steve Beshear, when he first got into office, tried to bring a battery plant of the future, to Kentucky. To-do was made about this battery plant. And I forget the number of jobs it was supposed to bring, but essentially it was being brought here on a tax abatement. In other words, basically we were paying, actually I think in that case we were actually paying the company to locate their battery plant here. And they ended up not doing it anyway. But as I remember, I did the math on it. It was going to take like 25 or 30 years or 40 years. I can't even remember anymore. It's a ridiculous amount of time before we would even break even on the tax abatement based on the average salary they expected and the number of jobs they expected to create. The tax revenue would have been, it would have taken many a handful of decades. I can't remember how many now. So I made fun of that because it was a really terrible deal. Amazingly, the company went somewhere else. I sure hope that somebody else didn't pay more for that, because that's really not going to do well financially. But now that we have hemp, something that's been fought by the political establishment for years, now that we have hemp, perhaps next year's crop, or maybe even this year's crop, can be used to test the viability of using it for supercapacitors. And maybe, just maybe, what many laughed off as a joke, as ridiculous, as just a bunch of stoners who wanted to get weed, it may be, as it turns out, the best thing since sliced bread to happen to Kentucky. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Like I said, I still have to do more research myself, but I encourage you all to do research as well, looking at hemp being used to make supercapacitors for batteries. Oh, this story makes my head hurt. The open carry movement, trying to normalize open carry. Now, here in Kentucky, we have a constitutional right to open carry. And typically, everybody's pretty cool with it. You know, I was with a friend of mine one time when somebody tried to bug him about it. He just brushed it off like, whatever, man. But some of the pro-Second Amendment folks are getting a little out of hand. Now, this week there was a big to-do about a guy carrying, I can't tell if that's an AK or an SKS, into a Kroger. And, you know, quite honestly, on its face, it seems quite ridiculous. But the reason, as it turns out, that they're carrying a long rifle in a Kroger is because Texas's open carry law forbids the open carrying of handguns. And let's face it, you know, an open carry of a handgun, right, somebody has a gun on their side, is far less scary, far less in your face than a dude with an AK-47 strapped to him or carrying around in a Kroger. I think it's pretty funny that the real problem in this scenario is that Texas state law creates the problem. Texas state law is what makes it so that you have to have a long gun instead of a handgun. But of course, it made for splashy headlines and people going, oh my gosh, I'll never, you know, because Kroger basically said they were not going to ban people from open carrying in their stores. And that got people all fired up. I'm never going to shop at Kroger again, blah, blah, blah. Well, I hate to tell you this, folks, but the reality is the world's coming down to Kroger versus Walmart. And the same places, the same people who claim that they're never going to shop at Kroger ever again are the same people who decry Walmart. So, good luck. Good luck. And I think Kroger knows that, probably weighing into their decision on why they're just kind of saying, yeah, it's nice. Whatever. Whatever. So, boy, let's see here. Shifting gears a bit, what I really wanted to talk about tonight, more than anything, it's a national problem, but let's look at Kentucky in general, or more specifically in Kentucky, rather, because we live here. We live here. In Kentucky, our politics are broken. There's lots of examples of how our politics are broken here. For a sheriff or whatever goes to jail every couple of years. You start there. And why is it that the state isn't stepping in to stop corruption at the county level? That's a good question. And boy, does that have a can of worms behind it. State of our entire political system, not just in Kentucky, but nationally, is broken. It's a broken system. And people realize it. People see it. People understand it. People believe the system is broken. We've talked about in the past the poll from April of this year from Rasmussen that said that a full 53% of likely voters believe that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans as parties represent Americans. Pretty huge. Over half of likely voters believe that the D's and the R's are broken, that they don't represent Americans. Yet, chances are very good, that the majority of people who will be elected this year will be D's or R's. How is it that over half of the American public, not half the American public, half of the likely voters, people who are likely to go out and vote, how is it that half of those people say, I don't like what either of those guys are doing, yet probably 99% of those elected in November will belong to one of those two parties? How does that happen? Let me tell you how that happens. First of all, you have career politicians. The career politicians build themselves a nice little empire in their area. The U.S. congressional districts, they're so large these days that it takes a lot of money to run a quote-unquote viable campaign. Here in Kentucky, they're talking about this U.S. Senate race being a $100 million Senate race. That's a lot of jack. $100,000 $100 million. Where does that money come from? You're talking about running for an office that over the course of 6 years you're going to make, I don't know, somewhere between a half a million and $750,000 in salary. Where's the money come from? The money comes from special interests. Plays a major role. Now, I'm not one who thinks there should be campaign finance limits. I don't believe in publicly funding candidates because that always backfires. Somehow the D's and the R's get all the money and everybody else is left to fend for themselves. But what I can say is that we as voters to realize who is buying these politicians. Why is there so much money involved in all of this? I think there's a handful of things that can be done to make things better. I meant to start here. You know, the number one thing I really believe that we really need is term limits. By far are the number one thing that can help, not completely resolve, but help with this problem. When you have someone who goes to D.C. for many years, when you have someone that goes to Frankfurt for many years, at least in Frankfurt, they typically come home for a good portion of the year. But in D.C., I mean, there are people who have been elected for so long, they just moved to D.C. These guys are in D.C. more than they're home. Now that Congress is in session as long as it is, we need term limits, not even because of all of that. We need term limits to help stop building political empires. because that's what we have here, political empires. That's not going to solve the problem entirely. On one hand, you have Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has built a political empire. There is a lot of money behind him. Groups like the Crony Chamber of Chamber of Cronyism, the Chamber of Chamber of Commerce. The second time I swear was an accident. I wasn't really trying to call it the Chamber of Communism the second. The Chamber of Commerce inside crowd who claims to be for free markets, but really they're for special perks for themselves. That's one group. On the other side, you have politically connected people who want favors or whatever from the other side. So basically, the two major party candidates are being funded by people who want political favors, who want special rules to give them a leg up on their competition, who give them something specifically, which inherently gives them an advantage over you or I. And that's really the problem here. The real problem is we're fighting over who gets to get the government to give them a bigger slice of pie. It's not about liberty. It's not about freedom. It's not about solving problems. It's not about security. It's not about any of that. It's all about the slices of the pie and who's being forced to give different slices to somebody else. So the very first thing we can do is talk about term limits. Again, that's not going to solve the problems. You know, political bosses existed, and they never got elected to office. But it's a start. It's a start, because that gets rid of the name ID portion to an election. You know, Kentucky, in our executive branch office, used to have a rule. You could not succeed yourself. And I personally like that term limit. I like that idea. That, yeah, you can go and serve, but then if you're serving, you're ineligible to run again. And you'll have to wait until the next term after to run again. Again, that doesn't solve all the problems, but it certainly solves some. Now, the real problem, though, in my opinion, is the lack of competition. Competition drives quality. Competition is what makes things better. And putting out options allows people, putting out more options, allows people to give a more granular response to what they want. And believe me, what people want right now, as evidenced by that poll, is not more Democrats and Republicans. 53% of Americans say, no, we don't want them. Sorry, I made that mistake again. 53% of likely voters. And that's a real big, important deal. I mean, I want to emphasize likely voters one more time, because those are people who are going to vote. But there's a serious lack of competition. And there's a reason why. They've created rules that intentionally keep more choices off the ballot. And they'll even tell you that. They'll claim it's for your own good. Oh, well, you know, too many choices. They need to only have to choose between A or B. By the way, the Republican Party did put that in a lawsuit against one of our candidates at one time. It's a reason why our candidate should be thrown off the ballot, because, well, you know, more than two options. That's a burden to the taxpayer, or to the voter, excuse me. Really? It's a burden to have a third choice? These rules that create inequities on how candidates get to the ballot. In Kentucky, there is what I call a three-tier system. You have a political group, you have a political organization, and you have political party. Now, all three of these things really are political parties, as most people understand political parties to be. But in Kentucky, the folks in the General Assembly have created their own definitions for these things. And what they affect is how your candidate gets on the ballot. And what they fall on is how your parties, your national parties, candidate for president did in the last statewide election. That's a ludicrous bar. And the reason I say that is, number one, the presidential race is the most. It's also a weird race because you're not even actually voting for the people who are on the ballot. You're voting for presidential electors who then in turn go to D.C. and cast their vote for president. Those electors, the presidential electors, are represented by a name. They're under no obligation to actually vote for that person anyway. And the other part of it then, doesn't even take into account the idea that a party could be local. You know, here in Northern Kentucky, right across the river in Cincinnati, there's a local party called the Charter Party, and the Charter Party exists only in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was started by some old Democrats who were upset that the political bosses had taken over the Democratic Party. Political bosses had taken over, and they went out and started their own party called the Charter Party. That party still exists today. Though the era of bosses is gone, they have persisted, and they are successful in electing people to local office. The reason for that is because of their city council's nonpartisan race. So there are several flaws in how we determine our tiers. Then, once the tiers are determined in their flawed way, the tiers provide different levels, different thresholds for a candidate to reach the ballot. Kentucky, for tier number one, which is where everyone is that's not in tier three, tier one is political group. Everyone in a political group, their candidates are, basically there's no ballot access and there is no mechanism, unlike most states, to move the party to the next tier of ballot access. There is no petitioning process to get the whole party moved up. Tier one, political group. Tier one requires that each candidate from those parties or independent collect somewhere between 25 and 5,000 signatures at a minimum to be able to put their name on the ballot. This is in addition to the filing fee that all candidates pay. And then, and collect a bunch of signatures, and then they get on the ballot. Now, it used to be that they had to have their signatures all done by April 1st. And that was an extremely difficult task. And due to some lawsuits, due to some overreach by the D's and the R's, that deadline has been moved back to the second Tuesday in August. But the process is still tedious, especially for those who have to collect 5,000 signatures. Statewide candidacies require 5,000 signatures at a minimum in order to run as something other than a Democrat or Republican. It is an extremely difficult task. coordinator for two petition drives for president, who also need 5,000. And I was just the coordinator from the party's, the Libertarian Party's perspective, for the Libertarian candidate, David Patterson, for his campaign. It is an immense amount of work, just a ridiculous amount of work. In fact, we're still trying to get a handle on how many hours were put in by how many volunteers, putting a dollar figure on that. But I can tell you that the petition process itself, how much it cost just to collect the petitions, was over $17,000. Now, that may not seem like a lot. Well, you know, $17,000, I mean, you know, hey, these big campaigns are raising $1 million. It's more than $1 million. You know, McConnell's raised $9, and Grimes has raised $7 million, and blah, 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 blah. And that's true. But what people don't understand or realize is that that $17,500, in the case of David Patterson, or the $14,500, in the case of my campaign, years ago, that's your first money. That's the money that normal political campaigns use to go out and raise even more money. They go out and use to build their war chest. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of money spent in campaigns is actually just spent on getting more money. It's not like if I raised $35,000 in a state house race that I've plowed $35,000 into advertising. You know, we're on the TV, radio, signs, whatever. A good portion of that first money is used to go out and get some basic campaign materials like signs and bumper stickers. And then it's used to write letters, to send fundraising letters to people who are known fundraisers, to make phone calls, to raise more money, paying people to go raise more money for. Those of us down here in the first tier don't get to use that money for that purpose. We have to use that money just to get on the ballot. Because really, who's going to give money to someone who's not already on the ballot? They may want to support you, but they're not reasonably going to give money to someone who's not already on the ballot. That's the boat anchor, number one. Ballot access is the number one boat anchor that limits your freedom of choice at the ballot box. You're not going to have choices because it's just too hard. And you'll have people that say, well, that's why you need to run as a Democrat or Republican and change those parties from the inside. Yeah, sure, right. Because the moment you try to do that, the party establishment knows exactly what people to go and reach out to, knows exactly the people who are their primary voters, and they know exactly how to scare the snot out of those people into making it so that you lose the primary too. So you have a choice. You can run within the D and the R and give your machine and get defeated in the primary, or you can fight the good fight and try to run outside that scheme and probably lose because you don't have the means to raise the money because you spend all your money just getting on the ballot. So that's been the hurdle for many, 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 many years, point where people are so upset, so angry, so tired of the BS from the D's and the R's, that we're finally to a place where people are like, all right, I don't even care anymore. I'm just mad at these guys. And I'll vote for a Libertarian. I'll vote for an Independent. I don't care. I just hate the D's and the R's. And then I just realize I'm way over. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll go over that. And, of course, your phone calls at area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. Back in a few moments.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. All right, so by the way, if you'd like to call in, the number here, 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. So we were talking about the inequities and why we don't have real choice and why our political system is broken. Gone over the ballot access and how that hurts your fundraising. It certainly does. But one of the other things that hurts your fundraising is the inherent bias built into the system. Now, let me explain that. And this is really weird. The lesser of two evils game is by far one of the most powerful tools that the political establishment has to keep people continuing to vote against their own interests. Why is it that 99.9% of people that are elected this year going to be Democrats or Republicans when 53% of likely voters say that the D's and R's are bad? The answer is simple. They're going to convince you that one of them is so much worse that you just have to hold your nose and vote for the other one. That's the game. After they've artificially limited your choices, if someone manages to sneak through who's not a D or an R, they're going to convince you that you can't vote for them because you're throwing away your vote. Well, first of all, no vote is thrown away, especially those that wouldn't have otherwise been cast. There's no such thing as throwing away a vote. Your vote is your voice. And if you don't like what's going on, then you should speak. And the way to speak and be heard, you want to be said on your behalf. The inherent bias is amazing. The lesser of two evils game is so horrible. And I have been an advocate for a system called instant runoff voting for many, many years. Many years. I've advocated for instant runoff voting. What that basically means is you get to rank on your ballot who you like the best, and the second best, as many as you want. And the reason that you do this is that they tally up all of the number one, everybody who, all the number one votes. And if no one has over 50%, then they eliminate the person with the least number one vote. They change the number twos to number one for those ballots, and they tally again until there is a definitive over. I don't like candidate A or B. I like candidate C. Candidate C, they say, can't win, but I want to vote for candidate C anyway, so I mark them as a number one. But if they really can't win, well, I guess candidate B is better than candidate A, so I'll mark candidate B as a number two, and I won't mark anything at all for candidate A. So they would tally up all the number ones, and if sure enough, number one, if candidate C was the person that came in third and nobody had over 50%, then your second vote for candidate B would suddenly become a primary vote, a number one, and they would retally again. It's very, very simplistic. It's actually in use here in Kentucky. Part of Robert's Rules of Order, in use in Kentucky. My understanding is the teachers' unions use it here to elect their leadership. It's in use in city councils in various races throughout the United States. It's used by entire national governments in other countries. It's a tested system. It works. And I always tell people who say, well, you're throwing your vote away. This is a two-party system, blah, blah, blah. Well, hey, let's change that. Isn't that the real problem here? 53% of Americans think so. I'm sorry, I said it wrong again. 53% of likely voters think so. So let's change it. Demand instant runoff voting. And if you'd like to find out more about instant runoff, by the way, you go to fairvote.org, F-A-I-R-V-O-T-E.org, fairvote.org. I am a huge proponent of instant runoff voting because it eliminates the vote splitting silliness. It actually does. And understand, vote splitting is a real thing, but it's very uncommon. It's not like what they say. They always try to say that it's every candidate, not a D or an R, is trying to split the vote. Absolutely not. But there have been times when the system has been gamed in some way. And you eliminate that. It goes away with instant runoff. That's a good change. But the reality is, the major parties, the D's and the R's, they don't want it. Because if they had that, the lesser of two evils game goes away. They can't convince you that you have to vote for them anymore. And you might see some Democrats pulling 10 or 15% for Greens first. You might see going Libertarian first. You might see some Constitution Party folks going Constitution Party first. And there are other systems that you can use as well. Fusion ticketing. Fusion's a pretty cool thing where basically a candidate is running, and the only thing that happens on the ballot is that parties can endorse candidates. So in that scenario, a party can endorse a candidate that's already on the ballot, and that party shows up next to the person, but really you're voting for a person, and that person can receive multiple endorsements. That's why it's fusion ticketing. Multiple parties, one candidate. That's another system that can work. Personally, I'm okay with that. It's not something I'm a huge advocate of, but I'm okay with that. There are times when, you know, candidates aren't that bad and the D's or the R's. So fusion's an option too. And it was very common until they changed our election system back in the early New York State has fusion. I know that. Those are things that can be done to improve the voting system. But they're things that the political establishment won't allow because it ruins their game. They don't care. And this is important. The D's and the R's, the power brokers, the power mongers, don't care that the system is broken because it's broken in their favor. And until you realize that, and until you're willing to stand up and do something about it, then you're just playing their game. Because at the end of the day, in this U.S. Senate race, if Mitch McConnell wins, you lose. If Allison Grimes wins, you lose. Because each of them are going to owe a whole lot of favors to whoever donated to their campaign. That's a problem. Some of the other inequities are amazing. So, again, it comes down to money. The Fancy Farm Picnic, the biggest political event in Kentucky, way out in western Kentucky. Way out there. They do not allow anyone but Democrats or Republicans to speak, typically, at Fancy Farm. Now, they did let me speak there in 2012 on behalf of the Gary Johnson campaign. And it's unfortunate because I wanted Gary Johnson to attend, but by the time the organizers got back to me and said that we could speak, was already committed to another engagement because it took so long to get that negotiated. So the problem is that they specifically keep everyone but D's and R's out. And why? Question. And the reason why is because the D's and the R's pay people to go to this picnic. They put them on buses and in some cases actually pay them by the hour to attend this picnic. And those people in turn buy stuff at the picnic. Basically, the church is selling itself for money. It's selling itself out politically for the money that the major parties bring in. This most recent Fancy Farm, U.S. Senate candidates were afforded 7 or 8 minutes apiece. I don't remember which. And it seems to me like it was 8. And if I remember correctly, McConnell only used 6 of his 8 minutes. Patterson, the Libertarian candidate, had asked for 2 minutes, and only 2 minutes, at the event, and was told no. Certainly, he could have fit into the two-hour program that is fancy. So why not? Somebody threatens to, well, you know, if you do that, well, you know, we won't bring all these people. Whatever. But that's one way things are kept, you know, under. That's one way the system perpetuates itself. So without that publicity, it hurts you in the polls. Then you have the media. The media chases the advertising dollars. When a fake candidate was getting into the race here this year, the media was all over it. Why? Because there was a promise that they were going to spend not hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising for this fake candidate. Oh, well, the media is covering that guy like crazy. This guy's amazing. Meanwhile, the Libertarian candidate gets on, and everybody's like, oh, look, it's Libertarian, whatever. Really? Really? Why? Because the Libertarian candidate had to spend his $17,500 getting on the ballot, whereas the fake candidate spent $17,500 in advertising. And I do think some of it's just pure laziness, or bias, or both. You know, it takes work. Who are these libertarians? What? You know, this doesn't fit the story that the media is pushing. And there have been a handful of reporters who have been very good to the Libertarian Party and to candidates, or at least actually neutral, which is really all I want. I want all candidates to have a fair shake. Then you have things like this KET debate, where they created artificial criteria. And if in case you didn't hear, KET is going to host a debate between McConnell and Grimes, but did not invite the Libertarian candidate, David Paterson, to participate. Why? Because KET, despite having a history of inviting all candidates to actually make the ballot, KET created new criteria this year. Those criteria, you have to be on the ballot, but they also said you had to maintain a website. That's kind of weird, because maintaining a website shouldn't be a criteria for running for office, but that's all right, the Libertarians, we have a website, we're technologically advanced, we have a website, cool, okay, great. And you had to have raised $100,000 and reported it to the FEC. Okay, well, I didn't realize that KET, the public television, was all about how much money you've raised, but okay. And you had to be polling at least 10% in an independent poll. And this criteria had to be met by August 16th, 12:01 a.m., August 16th. And the filing deadline was August 12th for candidates. So you had almost a full 3.5, almost 4 days, but not quite 3.5, really, a little less than 3.5 days to comply with all these. And oh, by the way, we didn't even tell you about these things until 2 days after the deadline. Oh, sorry, you're not included. So now, on top of the rules, the state rules, getting onto the ballot, whatnot, these things already hamper non-Democrat, non-Republican candidates significantly. On top of all of that, you now have the state-owned media creating criteria that yet again filter who can be heard from in this race. And I want to emphasize again, these are new criteria. This has never been the case at KET before. You know, their election-like coverage is always, just the Democrat and Republican Party mouthpiece. Okay, whatever. But this is new. This is a new bias. Why is there a new bias. The reason there's a new bias is because libertarianism, and in general, just being independent, is on the rise. Again, 53% of likely voters. You have events like what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, that are highlighting that our police departments have become too militarized, that our police departments, that our government doesn't serve us, they control us. And people don't like that. It's at this time when people are sick of the D's and the R's, and they're sick of government controlling people, they're sick of all of this, that all of a sudden the bar is raised again. And that's really what we're talking about here, is chasing the bar. You reach the bar, and then they just raise the bar. You chase the bar, and then they raise the bar. And it costs a lot of money, and it costs a lot of time, and it's extremely frustrating, and it's that way on purpose. And then if you get through all of that, then the legal challenges come. Up here in Northern Kentucky, local libertarians are being sued by Republican candidates whom they're facing in a two-way race. It's Republican versus Libertarian, and that's it. One candidate was thrown off the ballot on Friday. And this coming Friday, I think this case is strong, but if the goal here is just to knock us out and preserve the status quo and protect certain politicians and not to do justice, then we may lose another candidate on Friday. I sure hope not. He's a great candidate. They're trying to say he hasn't lived in the area long enough, but he has. He could prove it. But they're asking for all kinds of strange criteria that don't really matter and aren't in accordance with the law. So that's what we're chasing here. That's why it's frustrating when people fall into the two-party trap. And that's why it's frustrating when people say it doesn't matter. And that's why it's really frustrating when people say they're just not going to vote. Folks, if you want change, you have to vote for it. And not just any change and not some stupid pie-in-the-sky, you know, hopey, changey theme, whatever, but real change. If it's something you want, you need to vote for it. Your vote is your voice. Think about it as two competing hot dog stands or three competing hot dog stands, and one of them serves the mustard you really like, but you know that one of the two is going to shut down. Or one of the three. They have to. For whatever reason, one of the three have to shut down. The one's got mustard you really like, but the other one's pretty good, and he's more likely to survive than the one with the good mustard. You give up, and you just go to the other one and let the guy with the good mustard or whatever close? I don't know about you. I wouldn't. And this is a heck of a lot more important than a hot dog stand or mustard. You're talking about policymakers. You're talking about the people who are creating the laws for our country, people who created the laws to have our government spy on us, to have our police forces turned into paramilitary organizations. These are important things that need to be discussed and that are not discussed when outside independent voices are intentionally excluded from the debate. That's why it's important for you to do the right thing. And if you really like the D or the R candidate, great, vote for them. But chances are good you're in the minority. Chances are very good you're in the minority. 100% of likely voters saying that D's and R's are awful. Next week, folks, we're going to try to get David Patterson, Libertarian candidate, on this show. Since he's not getting the media that I believe he should get, we're going to try to give it to him. So, next week, tune in live, 7 p.m. Eastern time, every Sunday. We're here. And obviously, if you're interested in calling and asking a question of David, you can do so at that time. But otherwise, folks, just we got to start doing things better. That's all. We got to do them better. That's all I have for this week. I hope you all had a good week. I hope you all have a good week coming up. And until next time, tune into the rest of the shows on the network. Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. for Ed and Dale. You know, we're here to help you, to give information to you. So until next time, folks, have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday. Take care.